So I've got a bit of a sore throat, so if I'm a bit croaky today, please bear with me. Today's talk is going to be looking at what church looks like as a family of believers. We're going to be mostly looking at our reading from Acts, thinking about how those early Christians lived, and trying to pick out what could be useful for us. We're going to ask why they lived that way, what the challenges and blessings were, and why they gave so generously into the community they were a part of. And the hope is that we can all come away having thought about what this community means to us and how through living generously, we can draw closer together as a family. And just to caveat this sermon right at the beginning, I am going to talk a little bit about giving, but that is in no way to kind of pressure you into giving or giving more. I'm just merely trying to point us to different ways in which we can grow together as a family. And giving is one of them, but there's many others. And I hope that will become clear as I go throughout. So as I was preparing for today, there was one verse in particular that really stood out to me. Verse 34 of our reading from Acts says, "For there was no needy person among them, since any who possessed land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sale to the apostles." That's quite a verse for a lot of us to hear, I think. If you are at all like me, the thought of giving up your possessions and placing them in the trust of others is a little bit scary. Even if those people are incredibly trustworthy, like I'm sure the apostles were, it still kind of takes away from that sense of security that I want to have. I mean, as humans, we like to have security, don't we? To have all of our ducks in a row. To not have to worry or stress or overplan about the present and future, but to have everything sorted out and planned out. At least that's what I'm like, and maybe you feel similar. But the point is that it is tough to rely on someone else, because there's always that chance that they might let you down. And I wonder if you can think of a time where you've relied on someone and it just hasn't quite gone to plan. How did that feel? Now, a few of you mentioned in a previous sermon that I did that you enjoyed my story of getting lost in an American airport and getting handed the wrong plane ticket. So I thought I'd share another story for your entertainment. And honestly, if you learn anything from today's talk, it might be just to never go traveling with me. This time, though, I was in Turkey and coming towards the end of my holiday. So as a last-minute treat to myself, I thought I'd book myself in for a massage to kind of soak in those last few relaxing moments before I flew back home and reality hit. Now, I do have to admit, this was the second time I'd been there this week, so I already knew the people who worked there, I knew they did a good job, and I was feeling pretty relaxed and comfortable going in. So I go, I get a massage, and my uncle comes and tags along with me, because he likes them as well, and we both have a great time. We're both feeling pretty relaxed, and when I was sitting in the waiting area, waiting for our taxi to arrive, which the massage parlor has very kindly booked for us. Very nice of them. The thing is, though, this taxi just wasn't showing up. We waited and waited, but it never came. Eventually, we had waited so long that we said, we'll just walk back to our hotel because it's not really too far away. And we have a reservation at a local restaurant with the rest of our family that we're going to miss. But they wouldn't let us leave. We tried to explain this to them, but they just weren't having any of it. They insisted that we stayed until this taxi arrived. Which eventually it did, but then we weren't told that this taxi wasn't just for us. We had to share it. So in hopped these two, and I'm not exaggerating here, bodybuilders, they were absolutely huge, and they kind of squished us into the back of the car like this. But we think, our hotel's only 5 minutes up the road. How hard can it be? It won't be so bad. But then the taxi takes a wrong turn. We had assumed that we'd be dropped off first since we were living so close. But now clearly that wasn't the case, as we were heading in the complete opposite direction. And in the opposite direction, we kept on going until the resort town we'd been staying in was just a distant glow in the rearview mirror. And all that lay before us was the dark Turkish countryside. On we went, deeper and deeper into this mysterious new place. And let me tell you, complete silence was filling this car. Now, maybe I was overreacting. I probably was. But when you're in a different country, and you're being driven into the wilderness by a complete stranger, and the car's full of complete strangers, your mind kind of drifts towards the worst case scenario. Completely ridiculous, I know, but I was now silently panicking to myself that the worst was going to happen. I found out later my uncle was doing the exact same thing, so it's not like it was just me. In the end, we were panicking for no reason. And they were just dropping off these two other guys at a very remote hotel. But it did mean that we were over an hour late to our booking, to which our family were not very happy. And we were both feeling pretty stressed out and tired. Not what we wanted from a relaxing massage. Now, admittedly, I didn't know these people very well. But I had placed my trust in them, and they let me down. So it's safe to say that if I ever went back, I wouldn't be as quick to trust them again. And I certainly wouldn't get in a taxi they sent for me as well. It would be a lot harder for me to place any sort of trust in them. So if I was living in a community with these people, like we saw in our reading from Acts, I might find that a bit difficult. How could I trust them when they had already let me down? Now, in our reading from Acts for today, we get introduced to a way of living that became commonplace amongst the early Christian communities, a way of living where they shared their resources with each other, where no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but instead, they shared everything they had. If trusting each other was an issue, they were clearly working very hard to overcome it. They were all in, so to speak, with this way of living. Now, we know this way of living had become commonplace across the early church, because this verse isn't the first time it's mentioned in Acts, and we're only on chapter 4. But also in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul actually has to address some of the issues that come with this way of living. But basically, the idea or result of this community means that you are placing your trust in others, that they won't take your possessions and run off with them, but would instead use the resources given to them well. It was, in essence, a shared community where everyone looks out for one another, which sounds great as long as everyone does. You are wholly putting yourself forward into this way of living and trusting that when you need it, those other people are going to come and help you and your family. It seems a little scary. So why did they do it? Well, Tom Wright suggests that they believed that God had established a new covenant through Jesus. They therefore saw themselves as the covenant community in whom God's promises were coming true. Basically, they saw themselves as living how God wanted them to live. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we see commands of debts being cancelled within communities. And verse 4 of chapter 15 within Deuteronomy says, "There will be no needy person among you, because the Lord is sure to bless you." So they were kind of drawing from those verses. This way of living that these new Christians had committed to was the true covenant community that God had always intended to set up. It had started with Jesus and his total forgiveness of sins and debts, and it was now being continued in how his followers chose to live their lives, forgiving one another, trusting each other, and sharing what they had, demonstrating through their lives the generosity and love of Jesus. This chapter is the first we hear of Barnabas as well, who would become a trusted companion of Paul and support him in the establishment of many churches across Europe. His story starts with him giving up some of his possessions. He takes a risk in selling a field, and God does something incredible and unexpected with his life. But I think it's also worth mentioning here that he doesn't go and sell the roof over his head or anything like that. He sells a field, which it would have been a big investment at that time, I'm sure, but it wouldn't have been everything that he had. He wasn't throwing himself completely into poverty. He gave what he could. And this is true of everyone who would have been in that community. They didn't sell the roofs over their head because they wouldn't have a place to meet or to live. So they aren't giving everything away, and they aren't throwing themselves into poverty. It seems to me that they are giving what they can into this covenant community and doing so generously. It certainly would have stretched them, but it would have been manageable. And the chapter also makes very clear that there was no needy person among them. And I think that's really worth pointing out. When we let go of the reins of our life just a little bit and let Jesus take over, when we give up some of our possessions or money or time and energy, we aren't giving that over to someone who is going to use those resources recklessly. For Barnabas, it brings about a transformation in his life that sets him off on an incredible adventure alongside the Apostle Paul. And for all those other people living within those communities who probably didn't have much, let's be honest, in giving what they could, they found a community of people willing to invest in them and support them. When we place our trust in Jesus and let go of all that stuff that we think gives us security, I think we find that God is our only real sense of security in this world of uncertainty. So for me, this passage really hits on two notes. It shows us the importance of investing into a community of believers like we have here at All Saints, this family of believers we have here. And it's also talking about the benefits of being generous, like we see in the beginning of Barnabas' story. And generosity has never stopped being important. And if you take a moment to think about it with me now, we might find that it's even more important than we first realized. Our second reading from 2 Corinthians, with a little help from some commentaries, I'll admit, tells us that giving, or being generous, does three things. First of all, it does something for others. It relieves their need, freeing them from that constant stress or worry about where their money is going to come from, or how they are going to feed their family, or whatever their significant worry might be. But it can also help restore their faith in humanity. Through our generous actions, they can see that their struggles aren't overlooked or ignored. It shows them that they are loved, that people actually care about them. So our generosity does something for others. But it also does something for us as well. Paul claims in verse 14 from chapter 9 that in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Your generosity will have a positive impact on them, and they are much more likely to think of you in a more positive light and even offer prayers up to God for you. So it's not like we're not gaining anything at all from entering into this more generous style of living. And finally, our giving, our generosity, does something for God. Verse 13 says that others will praise God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. It makes prayers of thanksgiving go up to God. Through our actions, people can begin to think about God. By us being nice to people in need, showing them love and friendship and being there for them, we kind of show them something of God working in our lives. That through our actions, they may come to know that God knows them and loves them and cares about them too. So, generosity can relieve need and free people from stress and worry, hopefully restoring some of their faith in humanity along the process. Generosity can build relationships with people and break down any barriers they might have put up to protect themselves. And maybe through doing that, they might offer some prayers up to us as well. And finally, it might help us to draw closer to God. It might help people draw closer to God and experience for themselves the love he has for them. So being generous with what we have can be really important. And one final Tom Wright quote for you this morning says that what you do with your money and possessions declares loudly what sort of community you are. So what sort of community do you want us to be? How difficult would it be for us to give in a way that was similar to that of the early church? Could we let go of our possessions and say they're not really our own? Now, I'm not saying that we become a commune or anything, we kind of share all of our possessions amongst each other. But is a way that each of us can become more invested in this community, to view All Saints as more of a family. There may be a risk involved in that, but there always is when we give so much of ourselves, when we place our trust fully in someone else. But those early Christians recognized their need for God and community above all else. Personally, that covenant community of the early church doesn't seem so scary to me now. I think that we need it. It's not that we're just giving and giving and seeing nothing in return. Acts is pretty clear that we will benefit from this way of living as well. And if you think about how this chapter can help us today, I think it shows us that this church family, these people sitting right next to us in these pews, are a gift. Christians need support from each other in a whole manner of areas, and having people who are of the same mind is a great resource. So are you all in? Have you committed to this family of all saints, or do you still feel like you're a bit on the edges? Maybe being all in feels like a leap of faith. And yeah, it might be, but it doesn't have to be a big and complicated one. It may be that you want to adjust your giving, but being generous with our giving could mean giving more of ourselves, our time, our energy, our wisdom. So maybe you could think about signing up to be a mentor or get more involved in the many ministries that happen week to week in this church. All of that is really good and really beneficial. But I think it could also mean that we open up our home more to people. That we invite the new family round for tea after church, or we go for a coffee with that person we haven't seen for a while or haven't gotten round to chatting to yet. These are all small leaps of faith, but I think that the leaps of faith are worth taking. The little steps that can help grow this family and this community into more of a family. For almost 2,000 years, Christians have tried to live as a connected covenant community because they knew that it was important. We need other Christians for support, for encouragement, wisdom, discipleship, correction, prayer. There's an endless list of ways in which we can help each other. There really is a wealth of resources in this room, and my ask today is that we really make the most of it. Barnabas buys into this idea of a covenant community and then has his say in shaping it. He journeys with Paul and sets up new churches while sharing his faith with new people and loving them. His journey starts with one simple act of service, but went on to transform his life. And I'm sure that his ministry impacted lots of other lives as well. Barnabas was all in and gave generously. And my hope is that together, being united by one purpose to love, to worship and love God in community with each other, we might start to see everyone here becoming all in with shaping the direction and community of this family of believers. My hope then would be that this model of generous giving that we develop would see this community grow and reach new people who need to be loved too, where we bring people closer to Christ by loving and serving others. So as we draw to a close, have a think about the simple steps we can take to draw closer as a family. Who are the people we can invite round for tea? Who are the people we can go out for a coffee with? How can we draw closer to each other? In what small way can we take a step towards someone and show them a bit of love? Who are the people we need to be really intentional about going up to and chatting with? What can each of us do to step a little further into this community and grow this family of believers? Let's pray. God, we just take a moment to listen to anything that you have to say to us. What do you want us to take away from today? Show us, Lord, where you would like to invest more of ourselves into this community. Show us how we can each play our part in shaping this community. And who are the people you want us to reach out to in this church? Amen.